Thanks for tuning in to the Lean 911 podcast, where you'll have a voice directly from the Gemba. I will rely on my three decades of Lean successes, as well as my failures, to answer your most challenging questions regarding your Lean transformation. I'm your host, Mark DeLuzio, President and CEO of Lean Horizons Consulting, and the principal architect of the Danaher Business System. Looking forward to your questions. Now, let's go to the Gemba. Welcome to episode 55. This episode is going to be all about on-time delivery metrics. Matter of fact, the title, The Games We Play with On-Time Delivery Metrics. Now, so many people in the lean, you know, CI space miss the fact that lead time is an unbelievable, powerful growth engine for the business. So many businesses lose business because of elongated lead times. And we still today are talking about productivity, which I don't know if I have another episode on this, but productivity, episode 49, I talked about the productivity hysteria. Productivity is simply a reflection of how good your processes are. Okay. Most people don't want to show up and do a bad job, right? But check out episode 49 on that one. It's called The Productivity Hysteria. But what I want to talk about today is the games that companies play with something so incredibly important to them, and that's the on-time delivery of their product or service. Now, why do I say they're playing games? Because they're not honest with themselves as far as what the customer truly feels in terms of their service and delivery. So I call these watermelon KPIs. Back on episode 34, I talked about on-time delivery metrics as it related to, do you measure the customer promise date or do you measure the customer request date? In the 30 years I've been doing this, I would probably say, well, at least the 24 years of Lean Horizons Consulting, I would say less than 10% of the companies that I, you know, encountered measure on-time delivery to the true customer request date. And they give me all kinds of reasons why, and I talk about that in episode 34. Okay, so I won't spend a lot of time on that. But if you're not measuring the customer request date and you're negotiating with your customer on some predetermined lead time and then measuring yourself and patting yourself on the back, that, you know, you hit your number. Well, again, I call those watermelon KPIs. Watermelon KPIs, internally, you think they're green. The customer is looking at it and saying, that's red. Okay, there's your watermelon KPIs. Green on the outside, red on the inside. All right, so we'll move away from that because that's what episode 34 was all about. Now, let's talk about the games that people play. And by the way, when it comes to on-time delivery, I'll bet you anybody on here who orders from Amazon regularly, one of the first things you look at is, when am I going to get it? And they tell you, are you going to get it sometimes within a window between 4 p.m. and 8 p.m. today, if you order it this morning. They give you a window, all right? And how many people have walked away from buying a particular product and looking for an alternative because the lead time was too long? That's happened to me several times. I bought an office chair one time. Got it in 3 days where the competition to this particular company had 3-month lead time. All right. So on Amazon, if I need something by the weekend and I see it's a 2-week delivery, I'll look for an alternative and see what I can do. I may even go off of Amazon and go to the company themselves, even though it may cost a little more. So lead time is a growth engine, and I would love to have everybody out there in the CI world, in the lean world, think about their lead time as a competitive weapon. And I think I've talked earlier about taking commodity businesses and actually growing them immensely because we're the best guys out there in lead time. Now, that's especially true if you sell into distribution, because that means they have to carry less inventory. Their GIMROI, gross margin return on investment, is lower. What's their biggest investment? Inventory. They will want to do business with you, okay, if you could get the lead time down, all right? significantly down relative to your competition. But let's talk about some of the ways and maybe some of the tricks that people play that just are not honest with themselves and honest with the customer as it relates to how we record on-time delivery. All right. Some companies I've run into actually do on-time delivery by line item. So let's say an order has 100 lines on them and they end up shipping 90 of them on time. They will put that down as 90%, 90% on-time delivery. Okay. Can you imagine if your auto manufacturer shipped you your car and they said, well, look, there's 20,000 parts in your car, but your car got delivered without the steering wheel. All right. There's a reason that the customer ordered those 100 line items and they wanted them all at once. You can relate to this with Amazon. You order a bunch of stuff, that, especially if they all are, complementary to each other. And one of the things they don't ship you, guess what? The whole order is no good, right? So from a customer perspective, you want to be able to reflect what is it that the customer wanted. They wanted 100 lines on that order. They wanted it on a particular day. You're not 90% when you only ship 90 of those 100 line items. In my view, you're 0% because you didn't satisfy what the customer asked for, all right? And by the way, this, whether it's, on-time delivery to promise or to request date, it's still the same math, okay? In my mind, you're zero. What about due dates? Let's say the due date is June 15th. And the company ships the product on June 15th, maybe even June 14th. And they say, yep, we made our due date, right? 100% on-time delivery. The only problem is, you're in Newark, New Jersey, and your customer's in Los Angeles. It's going to take 3 days for the product to get there by truck. How the heck in the world can you call that on time? Can you imagine? Again, I'm going to go back to Amazon, go back to our daily lives. What if Amazon said, product will be delivered, but in their mind, delivered is when they ship it out of their warehouse, and it takes a day or two later to get it. You'd be upset, okay? So, again, that is not an on-time delivery. That goes down as zero, all right? What if you had one line item on the order and they were asking for 100 pieces, but you only shipped them, 95 pieces? For some reason, you allocated, you didn't have the product, whatever the case may be, and you put marked down, hey, I'm 95% on-time delivery. Customer's sitting there saying, wait, I ordered 100. I need 100 of these things. You only shipped me 95. I got a wedding. I got 100 guests, and you shipped me 95 chairs. Okay. What's going on with that? So, again, that's not 95%. That's a watermelon KPI because you're not thinking about what the customer is feeling. And in my book, that goes down as zero. All right. By the way, the same thing with quality. Motorola was famous for, counting the number of parts in a cell phone. And if one part in that cell phone was defective, one of 1,000, let's say, they calculated the parts per million, which, they said they were a Five Sigma company, which is 233 parts per million. No, they're not a Five Sigma company, because when the guy got that cell phone and it didn't work, to him, you were zero out of one. In Motorola's way of calculating, they were 999 out of 1,000 because only one component failed. That's an engineering, dim-witted way of thinking because you're not thinking about the customer, right? I had I built a house once in Connecticut, or had a house built for me, and the builder put on the wrong roof. So I went to complain to him, and here's what he said to me. Mark, do you realize that There are some 17,000 parts that go into building a house. I said, geez, no, I didn't realize that. But you screwed up on the roof. It's not like you put the wrong hardware on my kitchen cabinets that could be changed out. You screwed up on something like really major, okay? But his attitude was, there's 17,000 parts. We got one wrong, big deal, right? That was his attitude. So I looked at him, I said, boy, I'm so glad you don't build airplanes, okay? Because I wouldn't fly in those airplanes if you were the builder, right? With that attitude, right? And just to let you know, I threatened to sue him, and the quid pro quo, I had him build a 1,000-square-foot deck in my backyard, and he did that for nothing. So that was the trade-off I got out of that, you know, that roof error, okay? But again, it's the attitude. It's like, really? I mean, you know, 17,000 parts and you only screwed up on one? You know, again, zero defects. I remember Iwata from Shingajitsu, one of my, God rest his soul. He said to me, Deluzio-san, why does Americans look at, you know, 3.4 parts per million is good, should be zero? Right? It's a mindset issue. Nakao told me once, Deluzio-san, why are you targeting 98% on-time delivery as your objective? Well, geez, I don't want to, and my dim-witted answer to him at the time was, oh, geez, I don't want to, you know, demoralize my factory. If I put 100 down, we were like 80. So I don't know how you demoralize them with 2 percentage points differences. And he said to me, Nicole said to me, Deluzio-san, why don't you call the 2% of the customers and tell them you're going to be late? They could not put their minds around why we were not targeting 100%. Anyway, it's a mindset, maybe cultural if you want, but it's a mindset view that we have to think about. So anyway, these watermelon KPIs, on-time delivery, I'd be interested to see how you measure on-time delivery. Somebody on LinkedIn said it should be on time to customer request date in full with the right quality. And I agree with that 100%. Okay. So anyway, let me know how you do it. Let me know whether or not you agree with how you do it. And any other comments or methodologies you might use in terms of thinking about what's the right measure for on-time delivery as it relates to the customer and what the customer really is looking for, okay? You can email me at mark@lean911.com, and I'd love to hear from you. Thanks a lot. We'll see you next time. This was episode 55. And we will see you guys next time. Bye-bye.
Thanks for listening to the Lean 911 podcast. I'll be happy to address your questions or feedback on future episodes. Email me at mark@lean911.com. You can check out our other episodes by visiting our website at lean911.com, our YouTube channel, wherever you listen to podcasts. This is your host, Mark Deluzio. Thanks for listening.